19, text 22. Page 813. Chant together. Yatu Krishna Vat Ekasmin Karye Saktam Mahoitukam Atat Varta Dvad Alpam Cha Tatama Samudahritam. Translation. And that knowledge by which one is attached to one kind of work as the all in all, without knowledge of the truth, and which is very meager, is said to be in the mode of darkness. Text 23. Niyatam sangarahitam araga dveshata kritam apala prepsuna karma yatat sattvikam uchite. Translation. That action which is regulated and which is performed without attachment, without love or hatred, and without desire for fruitive results is said to be in the mode of goodness. Text 24. Yattu kame psuna karma sahankarena vapunaha kriyate bahulayasam tadrajasam mudahritam. Translation. But action performed with great effort by one seeking to gratify his desires and enacted from a sense of false ego is called action in the mode of passion. Text 25. Anubandham kshayam himsam anapeksha cha paurusham mohad arabhyate karma yatatama samuchate. Translation. That action performed in illusion, in disregard of scriptural injunctions, and without concern for future bondage or for violence or distress caused to others is said to be in the mode of ignorance. Text 26. Muktasango naham vadi drityutsaha samandita siddhya siddhyor nivikara karta sattvika uchite. Translation. One who performs his duty without association with the modes of material nature, without false ego, with great determination and enthusiasm, and without wavering in success or failure, is said to be a worker in the mode of goodness. Text 27. Ragi karma pala prepsur lubdo himsatmako shuchihi harsha shokanvita karta rajasa parikirtitaha. Translation. The worker who is attached to work and the fruits of work, desiring to enjoy those fruits, and who is greedy, always envious, impure, and moved by joy and sorrow, is said to be in the mode of passion. Text 28. Ayukta prakrita stabta shato naiskritiko lasaha vishadi dirga sutricha karta tamasa uchite. Translation. The worker who is always engaged in work against the injunctions of the scripture, who is materialistic, obstinate, cheating, and expert in insulting others, and who is lazy, always morose, and procrastinating, is said to be a worker in the mode of ignorance. Text 29. Budher bedam dvitaischaiva gunatas trividam shunu prochamanam asheshena prataktvena dananjayam. Translation. O winner of wealth, now please listen as I tell you in detail of the different kinds of understanding and determination according to the three modes of material nature. Text 30. Pravritim ca nivritim ca karya karye bhaya bhaye bandham moksham chaya veti buddhisa parta sattviki. Translation. O son of Pritha, That understanding by which one knows what ought to be done and what ought not to be done, what is to be feared and what is not to be feared, and what is binding and what is liberating, is in the mode of goodness. Text 31. Yaya dharmam adharmam cha karyam cha karyam eva cha ayatatvat prajanati buddhisa parta rajasi. Translation. O son of Pritha, that understanding which cannot distinguish between religion and irreligion, between action that should be done and action that should not be done, is in the mode of passion. And finally, text 32. Adharmam dharma itiya manyate tamasavrita sarvartandi paritangscha buddhisa parta tamasi. Translation. That understanding which considers irreligion to be religion and religion to be irreligion under the spell of illusion and darkness and strives always in the wrong direction, O Partha, is in the mode of ignorance. Going back to text 22. And that knowledge by which one is attached to one kind of work as the all in all, without knowledge of the truth, and which is very meager, is said to be in the mode of darkness. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The knowledge of the common man is always in the mode of darkness or ignorance, because every living entity in conditional life is born into the mode of ignorance. One who does not develop knowledge through the authorities or scriptural injunctions has knowledge that is limited to the body. He is not concerned about acting in terms of the directions of scripture. Bring me a tissue. For him, God is money. And knowledge means the satisfaction of bodily demands. Such knowledge has no connection with the absolute truth. It is more or less like the knowledge of the ordinary animals. The knowledge of eating, sleeping, defending, and mating. Such knowledge is described here as the product of the mode of darkness. In other words, knowledge concerning the spirit soul beyond this body is called knowledge in the mode of goodness. Knowledge producing many theories and doctrines by dint of mundane logic and mental speculation is the product of the mode of passion. And knowledge concerned only with keeping the body comfortable is said to be in the mode of ignorance. Text 23. That action which is regulated and which is performed without attachment, without love or hatred, and without desire for fruitive results, is said to be in the mode of goodness. Purport. Regulated occupational duties as prescribed in the scriptures in terms of the different orders and divisions of society, performed without attachment or proprietary rights, and therefore without any love or hatred, and performed in Krishna consciousness for the satisfaction of the Supreme, without self-satisfaction or self-gratification, are called actions in the mode of goodness. But action performed with great effort by one seeking to gratify his desires and enacted from a sense of false ego is called action in the mode of passion. That action performed in illusion, in disregard of scriptural injunctions, and without concern for future bondage or for violence or distress caused to others, is said to be in the mode of ignorance. So, activity that performs violence on others is mode of ignorance. Activity for understanding something beyond, here we see that those who are simply interested in bodily, taking care of the body and body comforts, they're in the mode of ignorance. Those who are interested in some mental activities, they not only want sense gratification, but they also want some mental ideas. That's the mode of passion. They want to enjoy not just the gross, but they want to enjoy the subtle also, the mind and the senses. So that's the mode of passion. Just like, for example, we have a great deal of sense gratification in this country, but we're not satisfied with just the gross. We also like to put forward theories about evolution, and psychology, and philosophy. We pride ourselves that we're going to the moon. Why are we going to the moon? Or why are we trying to go to Mars? But that's not just some gross satisfaction. This is the mode of passion. We want some, we want to please our minds that we're also making progress. A person in the mode of ignorance doesn't care about that. He just, like an animal, just wants to gratify his senses. And just like an animal doesn't care about the pain of others, doesn't mind. A cat doesn't mind that the mouse should undergo suffering. Doesn't bother him. So, now, in a person or a community, or a country, or whatever. These three modes, they're always competing. So, one may be affected by all three modes at the same time. Because it's the word guna, it means quality, but it also means rope. It has another meaning. And just as when three ropes are intertwined, and tied together, they become very, very strong. It's very difficult to get free from the triple cord. In the same way, these three modes, they intertwine. So at one point, at one moment, a man is, for example, you can just imagine, he's sitting at a table in a restaurant, he's discussing some philosophy while eating meat, and making arrangements with the woman for his sense gratification. So this is all three. He's speaking about some good thing, how to help the world, how to save the suffering environment. Then he's eating meat. Then he's engaged in sense gratification. So goodness, passion, ignorance, all three combine together and the whole thing becomes very, very bound up because he won't even give it up. He thinks that I'm such a good person. I'm doing things for the environment. I'm doing things for my family, for the country, for my boss, for my workers, everything. My dog. So he's trying to be a good man. It's like in the Bhagavad Gita, we were reading before in a previous chapter, how the demoniac person thinks, I will perform some sacrifice, I'll give some charity, and I shall rejoice. So even the out-and-out demon, he also likes to think he's a good man. He's a good man. Give some charity. I give. It's not bad to everyone. He likes to think he's very good. Even the persons who are so terrible, they think they're good. So this is how the modes of material nature, they bewilder us. Even when we think we're a very good person, that's part of the material energy, just wrapping us up tighter and tighter. So one should not then be so concerned with doing things that will make him think that he's a good person, as we're reading here. One should perform activities which are in line with the scriptures. Then his position is secure, because he's following the scriptures and without attachment or hatred, without love. So what does it mean? No love and no hatred? Someone may say, well then, what's the use in living? He has no emotions. It means, it's not that he has no love, he has love for Krishna. He puts his love in the right place. He doesn't love all these material things. He doesn't fall in love with some materialistic person. He doesn't fall in, because it's not love. Actually, it's a misnomer. They say, I'll love you, until the 12th of never. But the fact is, he doesn't know what he's talking about. He's saying it's love, but actually it's lust. Why doesn't he love someone else till the 12th of never? Another soul, they're all the same type of soul. He doesn't know that. Why does he say, I would love this beautiful woman till the 12th of never? Why not some old, decrepit, why don't you go to the hospital, find some old, decrepit, dying woman and say, I'll love you till the 12th of... No, he doesn't say that. Only to the... So this is illusion. He doesn't know what love is. Let's look at the words here in the... Dveshita. Araga... Dveshita. So really, raga means, yes, love and attachment. Or lust. Without lust and without hatred. He's not taking sides. He's not becoming bewildered, taking some political sides. Or he doesn't become attached, that's the point. He knows that what's the use in becoming attached? It's all temporary. The more we're attached to something, the more we are longing for it, then the more we suffer. The more we're attached to something and we love it, then the more we hate when we don't have it. Or we hate anything that tries to stop it. So this loving and hating, or attachment and aversion, these are the dualities that keep one in the material world. Because he can't get out, because he's too busy loving or hating something to worry about getting out. His whole life is simply thinking, I've got to get this. And I hope that I make sure that this doesn't happen. This is called, another way of describing it is harsha shoka. Harsha means happiness, and shoka means lamentation. Or nakangchati nishochati. Kangchati means hankering. He's thinking, he's always planning what he's going to get. And nakangchati nishochati, then lamenting for what he's lost. I had it, or I could have had it, and then I lost it. I was young. When I was young, I was so happy. Like many old people, they just spend their whole time lamenting that now I'm old. And I was young, living in the past, lamenting. And the young person's thinking, when I get older, I'll be happy. And the poor person's thinking, when I become rich, I'll become happy. And a rich person is thinking, when I become less anxiety, when I get more peace, I'll be happy. Everybody's trying to find something else. Nobody's just happy now. But the devotee. Bhukti mukti siddhi kami akaliya shanti. Krishna bhakta nishkama ateva shanti. Why is he happy? The devotee is the only one who's happy because he doesn't need anything. There's nothing he's trying to get. He's already got it. He's already got Krishna consciousness. And he's got peace. And he's got knowledge. So he's satisfied under all circumstances. It doesn't matter whether there's war or peace, a devotee's happy. In the material world, if there's war, people are very unhappy. And if they're peace, if it's peace, they think they're very happy. Actually, they're not happy, but they think they're happy. Now we're happy because it's peace and we can enjoy our senses peacefully. But they don't know that the result of enjoying your senses peacefully is that you will suffer violently in the future, because your enjoyment is causing suffering to others. It's like they think, it's peaceful, let's have slaughter some animals. So that's very good. But they don't know that they're going to have to suffer for that. Continuing, text 24, but action performed, we read that, 25. That action, we read that too. 26. One who performs his duty without association with the modes of material nature, without false ego, with great determination and enthusiasm, and without wavering in success or failure, is said to be a worker in the mode of goodness. 27. The worker who is attached to work and the fruits of work, desiring to enjoy those fruits, and who is greedy, always envious, impure, and moved by joy and sorrow, is said to be in the mode of passion. Well, these verses are very helpful for us because we can analyze what's motivating us. We can do some self-analysis. Because we all want to be happy, and we're not always feeling happy. So when I'm not feeling happy, then I can write down, why am I not feeling happy? What's bothering me? You can make a list. It's a good idea. So you make a list. What's bothering me? Well, I wanted to get this, but it didn't come. And here I am now in this situation where I'm not in my senses. Generally, it's my senses or my mind are not satisfied. Something my senses were hankering after, but it didn't come. For example, I wanted more money, but I didn't get it. And now I'm without money, and I can't do the things I wanted to do. So I'm unhappy. But this is, we can see, well, this is mode of ignorance, mode of passion. I wanted to get more, but I didn't get it. And then I'm lamenting about it, so that's the mode of ignorance. I'm lamenting, I'm hankering. Hankering is the mode of passion, lamenting is the mode of ignorance. There you go. So when you're hankering for things, it's passion. And when you're lamenting for things, it's ignorance. But a person in the mode of goodness, he doesn't go up and down like that, because he's equal under all circumstances. He takes everything that comes as an opportunity for progressing in life and his spiritual life. Just like a good athlete. I remember we used to watch the baseball before we became involved with Krishna consciousness. So you could see the really great champions, even when they struck out, you'd never see any emotion. And the other ones, the lesser ones, you know, they'd smash the bat down and throw the bat, get all upset. So you could tell these persons are, he's too emotional. He's upset when he doesn't get it, when he does. But the really great performers, you see that they don't get upset in victory or defeat, or loss or gain. And you can't tell any difference. They just try their best. They have a saying, it doesn't matter whether you win or lose, but how you play the game. That's true. A real athlete, he doesn't consider whether he's winning or not winning. It's just he tries his best under all circumstances. And he never gets upset with anybody. He doesn't blame someone else on his team. Or similarly, a person who's in the mode of goodness, he doesn't blame others, because he knows they're acting according to the laws of material nature. Why blame them? This person who's trying to be my enemy, he's doing so because of my karma, because of his karma. He's forced to act by modes of material nature. Why should I get upset? Who will I get upset at? This comes from knowledge. Because one has, in the mode of goodness, one gets knowledge, so then he can understand everything and there's no need to get upset. We get upset because we're in ignorance. We don't understand how things are working. We get frustrated. But a person in the mode of goodness, he's not frustrated. He knows, just like this people, they madly want to go to university now. It's not just going for knowledge. Let's not kid ourselves. It's madly going to get some degree so I can get more money. And then more sense gratification. And he's thinking, in his ignorance, that if I have this paper degree, I'll be able to get more money, and thus that means more, that will translate into more sense gratification. But he doesn't know that according to one's past activity, everyone has the karmic reaction. So he's only going to get as much money as he's destined to get. He can't get more. There's a story about a very poor man, and Lord Shiva and his wife were passing him. And so Lord Shiva's wife, she was a little sentimental. She said, "Oh, he's so poor, dear Pati, my dear Lord husband. Why don't you give him some charity?" And Lord Shiva said, "There's no need. He's poor. It's his karma. He's going to be poor no matter what happens. He's meant to be poor. Even if he had some wealth, he'd lose it." She said, "Well, anyway, why don't you give him some?" So Lord Shiva said, "All right." And he gave him a watermelon with some diamonds inside, very valuable diamonds. And sure enough, the man was so unfortunate that he sold the watermelon for just a few paisa, and he gave away the diamonds. Whatever one is destined to get, according to his karma, he'll get. So if one has knowledge, then he saves himself so much anxiety. I'll get what I'm supposed to get. What is it? Que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. If one lives like that, then whatever I'm supposed to get, that's it. He's free from so much anxiety. Now, they will say, the persons in the mode of passion will say, "Yes, you say that whatever I'm supposed to get, I'll get, and that That way you become lazy and you don't work hard. Well, some people may miss, then that's the mode of ignorance, if he becomes lazy. But we see that the person in the mode of goodness, he says it's, he works with great determination and enthusiasm. See this verse 26? But he's without wavering in success or failure. He does his duty very enthusiastically, very with great determination, but he's not attached to the results. But this is the greatness of the mode of goodness. Text 28. The worker who is always engaged in work against the injunctions of the scripture. Where, so this is the person in the mode of ignorance always works against the scriptures. Whereas the person in the mode of passion, sometimes he follows the scripture. Sometimes he'll do good things. Sometimes he follows the scripture. But he follows the scripture with the idea that I'm going to get some better material enjoyment, just like he may come and offer some donations even to demigods or something. So he may follow the scripture, but his following the scripture is for material purposes, for his own sense gratification. It's not for God's pleasure. Whereas the person in the mode of ignorance, he never follows the scriptures. You tell him, let's go to the temple. He doesn't want to go. No. He'll just go to the pub. He has no interest in anything pure or anything good. Twenty-nine, O winner of wealth, now please listen as I tell you in detail the different kinds of understanding and determination. That understanding by which one knows what ought to be done and what ought not to be done, what is to be feared and what is not to be feared, what is binding, what is liberating, is in the mode of goodness. Yes, there are some things that should be feared. For example, Chanakya Pandit says, when there's an invasion, and when there's an epidemic and fire, someone who leaves the place is intelligent. He lives. So it doesn't mean that you're very boldly say, I'm going to stay. There's a big epidemic, but I'll stay. And you'll die also. Or like the moth, the classic example of a bold moth flying boldly into the fire. He's attracted by the fire. He boldly flies into the fire and boldly is burned up. So we have that type of fear, that fearlessness. You know, I'm not afraid of getting lung cancer. Doesn't bother. I'm not afraid of. So what is the advantage of being unafraid of getting lung cancer? You'll get it anyway. You fearlessly get lung cancer. That's stupid. Or you fearlessly, build the nuclear weapons and fearlessly you blow each other up. So this is not intelligent. One should be afraid. Actually, Prahlad Maharaj wasn't afraid of his father. And he wasn't afraid of Lord Nrsingadev. But what he was afraid of was forgetting the Lord and falling back into the material existence. So that's what should be we should be afraid of forgetting Krishna. Afraid of falling into Maya. But not afraid of death, because death is something that is inevitable. There's no use being afraid of something. And if we understand what death is, death isn't really death. Death simply means being transported to a different circumstance, a different situation. So what's to be afraid of that? It's like, is anyone afraid of going to sleep at night? Why are you not afraid of going to sleep at night? In fact, you even look forward to it. Why do you look forward to it? Dr. Jesse?
Because
Yeah, but why there's, yeah, but there's another reason why you look forward to it. Okay, another one. What's the real reason? Yeah, but you know you're going to wake up in the morning. If you didn't think you were going to get up in the morning, you wouldn't be looking forward to going to sleep. If someone said, okay, now go to sleep, but don't worry, you won't have to wake up. You say, wow, wait a minute. No, just go to sleep, and this will be a real long one. You like to sleep, right? Yeah, I'm really tired. Okay, go to sleep, and I'll make sure you never wake up. You go, no, I don't want that kind of sleep. So, we like sleep, but we like waking up. We like sleep because we know we'll wake up. Similarly, death is not a problem if you know you're going to wake up in a few seconds. For the devotee is simply transporting him back to the spiritual world. What is there to worry about? But the non-devotees, they don't know what death is and they're very frightened, full of fear. Text 30. We read that, 31. The Sanapritta, that understanding which cannot distinguish between religion and irreligion, between action that should be done and action that should not be done, is in the mode of passion. So this is the point. They're trying to figure out what's right and wrong, but they can't. This is like this abortion issue. They've been going on and on for years, this debate. Is it right? Is it wrong? Should we do it? Should we not do it? They're in the mode of passion. They can't distinguish. They have big debates and big meetings, and sometimes they think, yes, okay, it's all right. And sometimes, no. Should we elect the Democrats? Should we elect the Republicans? Back and forth. Which is the better one? And then the mode of ignorance considers irreligion to be religion. So he's always wrong. He's completely situated in irreligion. There's no question. He always makes the wrong decision. Any questions? Pure devotees, softer than a rose, and harder than a thunderbolt. That means that, just like Lord Nrsingadev, how was he to Hiranyakashipu? Like a thunderbolt. How is he to Prahlad? Like a rose. So similarly, a devotee, to the devotees, he's like a rose. To the non-devotees, he's like a thunderbolt. Why was Prabhupada, the anti-cult people were so afraid of him. They were so upset with him. He was a great disturbance to them. He was like a thunderbolt because he was teaching the absolute truth. The truth is smashing all the illusions. The question is, where does enthusiasm come from? You mean ultimately? Ultimately it comes from Krishna. Well, here we're talking about enthusiasm in the mode of goodness. So it comes from that mode. And the mode of goodness is coming from knowledge also. When one has knowledge, then he's naturally enthusiastic. When he's living a good life, when he's doing good things, when he's following scripture, he's getting some enthusiasm. He's getting encouragement. God ultimately is the source of all enthusiasm. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, I am the strength of the strong. I am the ability in man. I am the intelligence of the intelligent. So it's all coming from Krishna. But those who are practicing in the mode of goodness, they will get more enthusiasm for better things. Whereas those in the mode of ignorance, they'll get enthusiasm for things like sleeping and intoxication and harming others. And even that enthusiasm won't always be consistent. They're not people in the mode of ignorance are not inclined for pure activities. It's like a pig. If you offer, say, okay, pig, let's clean up today. Let's have a maha clean up. Let's get yourself really clean and let's change your eating habits. You're much too heavy. You're too fat. Why don't we're going to eat some nice things? No, you know, They have no interest in that. They like it dirty. They like to live in a filth. In fact, if you see a pig, he likes to go and just stay in the mud, in the dirty, filthy garbage. That's his. Or the crows. If you have a nice talk with the crows, why don't you go and stay where the lotus flowers? No, he's a crow. He likes living where the garbage is. So the question is, what's the program for bringing the crows into, making them into swans? Well, that's Krishna consciousness program. Because giving him knowledge, giving him transcendental prasadam, giving him chanting and dancing, this pierces through the modes of material nature. And it takes him out of the modes and puts him sagunan samatityayatan brahmabhuyaya kalpate. So he actually is transported away from that by the mercy of the devotees, by the mercy of Krishna. He's taken out of that situation and he's put into a higher position and he's given a higher taste. Param drishtva nivartate. By getting a higher taste, he gives up the lower thing because he gets transcendental knowledge. Krishna says there's nothing so pure and sublime in this world as transcendental knowledge. So that's what we're trying to distribute these books more and more, to give transcendental knowledge and take them out of this material world. Thank you very much. Bhagavad Gita ki jai.